Sad time today that we've come to the end of this book. It has been a tremendous, tremendous study. And this chapter is no different. I encourage you, if you've not been here, to go back and get the study all the way through this book, as this is about life itself. You'll notice that I have the young people in here today, and I requested that because of what Solomon is teaching. And I'm specifically, Solomon is speaking to the young people. But if you say, well, that's no longer me, don't tune me out, because there's a message here for everybody. But if you will, I'm going to create just an illustration with you. I'm going to pull up a chair, if you will, not for me, but for Solomon. No, he's not going to come back from the dead and visit us. But I just want to just pull a chair up with you, because when I was studying this chapter, this will make sense to you. This is Solomon's chair. And as we come to this chapter, we're going to be reading this as I go through this message, but here's the title of the message, and I'm going to pray with you. As you come to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I want to speak to you on this subject. Counsel from a wise, older man. If you will, godly counsel from a wise, older man. Let me pray with you, and hopefully this will make sense as we travel through. Father, would you help us today? I pray that you'll fill me with your power and spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already today. And I pray for the children's churches going on, the nursery and those working there, the preschool, primary, junior church. We pray that you'll deal thoroughly with everybody on these grounds today. Help me, Lord, to do an accurate job here. Help me to truly articulate what you have put in my own heart today. Paint this picture, Jesus. May we never get over it. In Jesus' name, amen. What a journey it's been studying through this book of the Old Testament. The lessons have been practical and beneficial for our lives today, and this passage is no different. As I was studying this final chapter, every now and then the Lord will lay on my heart when I'm studying, get out of my office and just start walking around and meditating upon what I'm studying at that point. And that's what he did this week with me. I was studying this chapter and the Lord just laid on my heart, get out of the office and just start walking around and think about it, chew on it, meditate on it. And that's what I did. And during that time, the Lord began to speak to my heart with how this chapter deals with Solomon, who, as he's writing this book, especially this chapter, he's now an older man, who as a young man, if you remember, as a younger man, he tried everything. He tried everything to fill the void in his heart. And when you come to the book of Ecclesiastes, he's arrived at some conclusions about this life that we would all do well to take note of. In other words, here we have a wise, older man pulling up a chair, if you will. And if you will listen to him, he's going to give you some counsel about this life. At a point in his life when he's arrived at the right answers, he has gone on a long journey and now he's figured life out. And he's figured it out the right way. So he pulls up a chair and he calls the audience and he calls out and he begins to speak to us in this closing chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, it's a good thing to pay attention to the counsel of wise, older people who are pointing you in the right direction. Those who've gone through battles and learned from experience that this life is not about stuff, things that you accumulate, but rather it really is about the Lord God of heaven. This is what we have in this closing chapter of Ecclesiastes, and an older man looking back and giving spiritual counsel and wisdom concerning this one life that we have to live. See, folks, no matter how old or how young you are, you have one shot at this thing. That's it. You're not going to be reincarnated and come back and try it again. No, God's given you one shot at life. And may I say that where you end up in life, a lot of it could depend on what you pay attention to today from the counsel from this wise older man who's been there, done that, you see. now he's arrived at this conclusion. May I say to you that young people today, not everybody, but a lot of young people today, they don't want to hear what older people have to say. But I want you to say something. I want to say something here. I'm still a young man. I'm 41. I know that's ancient to these teenagers, but I'm 41, but I'm still a young man. And I want you to know something. I want help from the older generation. I go to Preacher Lashley often. I'd be ridiculous if I didn't, friends. And I'm telling you through this that here's an older man that has found out what this life is really all about. And now he's pulling up a chair and he wants to say some things. Therefore, I ask that you, spiritually speaking, if you will, sit up. Remove all distractions from your heart and mind and listen to what this man has to say. Are you with me? This is the last chapter. The first thing, as we listen to this man, as he comes to the end of his life, so to speak, he's older in life and he's tried everything out and all of this, and he comes to the right conclusion about life. As we listen in, the first thing we hear from him is, number one, he speaks to the youth. This is why I wanted him in here. Look at verse 1 and following. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There he is speaking to the young people. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun of the light of the moon and the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Powerful verses here. You say, what is he saying? What is this old man now who's here, and he's old, and he's older in life, and he can't get around like he used to could, and all of that. That's a good Southern term, used to could, and all these kind of things. I mean, he can't see like he used to, and he can't walk like he used to, and he can't hear like he used to. And he begins to say, before I die, he said, I want to say something to the youth. I want to say something to the young people. Here's what he says. It's interesting that he tells the young people here to remember God in your youth. What is he saying? You know, today young people have the tendency to tune older people out because they think they have life figured out. Not all of them, but just a tendency. And they think they don't need the guidance of older people. But however, it's a tremendous mistake that young people make when they tune the older generation out. There's much to be learned from the older generation, especially when the older generation knows the Lord and they're willing to give counsel concerning this life and what it's all about. This is what we have in these verses. Solomon was once a young man, you see. And through the book of Ecclesiastes, as he gave his testimony, we saw how he was a young man who lived for himself, and he had everything his heart desired in his life. But now he's gotten older and he's gotten wiser, and he begins to share some counsel with the youth. And he tells the youth to remember God now. The word remember means to think on him. It means to be mindful of him. I know that one preacher talks about what this means is a full commitment that involves your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. In other words, he's saying, don't wait until you get old before you start thinking about God. He's saying, while you're a young man and you have your vibrancy and your energy left, give the best years of your life to God. This is what he's saying. And then when he does this, he starts in verse number 1, I'm talking about the latter part, all the way down through verse number 7. He begins to give a personal testimony about the aging process. In verse number 1, I've already read it, but let me just paraphrase this. He said, in your youth, he said, remember God now and put God first in your mind now, because the evil days are not coming right now. The word evil days, he's talking about sorrowful days, days of adversity, days of trouble, heavy days, hurtful days. You know, it's rare for young people to have hurtful, heavy, adverse days. I'm talking about the days where life is crushing in on side of you, and all the burdens of life start coming down on you. He's saying in verse number 1, as you get older, the sorrows and adversities of life get worse with aging, and they can take the pleasure out of life. And he says, as a youth, right here, now just listen, as a youth, we think we're going to live forever. But something happens as you get older. I'm starting to learn this. I'm still young, but I'm starting to learn this. When you're young, you look and think you're going to live forever, but when you start getting a little older, you stop looking at the beginning and you start to look at the end. And you realize that you're not going to be here forever. This is verse 1. Verse 2, he says, when you age, when you read what he's saying here, he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, he's saying your eyesight starts dimming. You can't see like you once could. And he talks about in verse number 2, nor the clouds return after the rain. What he means that, he said, it just seems like it's raining, but then when it stops raining, it's just cloudy all the time. In other words, it's just storms and pains and afflictions. As you age, it's just continuous. It's just over and over. There's no relief from it. Verse number 3, he says, your arms and your hands start trembling. You're not as steady as you used to be. And he talks about your legs will weaken. He talks about the grinders are few. That's your teeth. He's saying your teeth start falling out. This is what he's saying. He talks about the eyesight will begin to dim there in verse number 3. In verse number 4, when you read it, he's talking about your hearing will start to fade, and you won't sleep as soundly as you once could, and your voice starts becoming feeble. The older somebody gets, their voice is not as strong as it used to be. In verses 5 through 7, he says, there's fears on every side when you age. He specifically talks about the fear of heights. That's what he says in verse number 5. They should be afraid of that which is high. How many older senior saints do you see riding roller coasters? You're not going to see this one either, and I'm not a senior saint. Amen. You ever seen somebody who's getting up in years and all these kind of things, and they don't want to climb a ladder anymore? Let me tell you why. Because they're afraid of falling. And they should be, because their bones aren't as strong as they used to be. And Solomon says, when you age and you get years on you, things that you wouldn't think about as a youth scare you to death now. Some of you know what he's talking about, don't you? He's telling it right, what it is. He's just telling, now he's talking to the youth here. I know for those who are senior saints, Don't let this message discourage you, because the Word of God elsewhere talks about how the hoary head, talking about the gray hair, the aged, they are blessed when it's found in the ways of God. But he's not talking to the elderly here. He's talking to the youth. He's trying to plead with them. He's trying to prove something to them. Why? He's telling them, remember now, do it now. Don't wait, do it now as a youth. Remember God, because he said when you age, fears are everywhere. Verses 5 through 7, he says that the hair starts turning white or turning loose. That's the almond tree he's talking about. When it blossoms, it's white. And he's talking about the hair starts turning colors. It starts getting gray and starts getting white, and in some cases starts falling out. And he talks about the lighter things, the grasshopper. A grasshopper's not a, I mean, it's not, how heavy is a grasshopper? But he said when you get old, just the lighter things are just burdens. Just the small things become burdens. He talks about the desires of youth are gone. Then he starts talking about death is hovering. In the latter part of verse number 5, he says that because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. What does that mean? Well, if you study the Word of God, back in this day, there were people back in this day, they were known as mourners. They were paid to mourn for a funeral. Can you believe that? That was their job. They would roam around, and when somebody died, they would get paid just to go lament and cry for that funeral. So what's Solomon saying when he says the mourners are going about the streets? What's he saying? He's saying death is coming. That's what he's saying. He's saying that these mourners are just walking around the streets because death is getting closer and closer and closer. He's saying there's coming a day when we will die and our bodies, verse number 7, our bodies will return to the dust, but our spirit will go back to God that gave it. In other words, he's saying when you get older in life, you realize that the days behind you are much more than the days ahead of you. And you stop so much thinking about your youth and you start thinking more about eternity. And he's saying, I'm telling you something, it's not a pretty picture when you get old. The older you get, the more you lose ability. It's just the way it is. Solomon paints this picture about getting old. But he paints this picture to be a motivation for young people to remember God now, while they have their vibrancy. In other words, he's saying, don't wait until you're limited. Don't wait until you can't do what you used to serve God. No. He's saying while you've got all of your energy and while you have good eyes. I have glasses. I've not always had glasses. Started wearing them, well, contacts when I was a teenager. Struck out 3 times at night. Yeah, I'm making an excuse because I don't strike. I'm just kidding with you there. I learned through that. I need to see better. And now if I took these off, some of you look a whole lot better because I can't see you. You know what I mean? All I'm saying to you is, as young people, they have all of their vibrancy. They have all of their energy. I used to run around. I used to play full basketball games in high school. I mean from beginning to end. If I played one quarter right now, they'd have to put me in the hospital probably. What I'm saying to you is he's saying something here. He's saying, love God and serve Him now. The time you have the most energy and ability to do something for God. And to the older generation, this does not mean you can't serve God. That's not what He's teaching. But you know as well as I do that there are some things you can't do like you used to. Amen or not? Young people, listen to this. From the older generation, is Solomon saying it right? Say amen. It happens. It happens. And he's saying, don't give God the leftovers. He's saying, give God your very best. And this experience, young people can easily build misconceptions about life and put off getting serious about God. But Solomon challenges them to give God the energy of their youth, to commit to God now before the difficult days come, rather than offer Him the last dregs when they're old. So many people live a wasted life. And in the last years, now thank God in the last years they turned to the Lord. Solomon exhorts to use your good years for God. See, young people are free from many adversities. They're free from many cares and responsibilities of life. And they should use that freedom from the distractions of adult life to honor God. See, the world says opposite. It says, sow your wild oats while you're young. Live it up while you're young. Do your own things while you're young. And then when you get old, there's plenty of time to serve God. That has never been the will of God. It's always God's will, no matter how old or how young somebody is right now's the time to remember God. Right now's the time to give your life to God. J. Vernon McGee said, in view of the fact that nothing under the sun can satisfy the human heart, Solomon says, get back to God. He says, while you're young, don't make my mistake.
See, he didn't live this way. See, as a young person, when he had all of his vibrancy, he gave it to women. He gave it to this. He gave it to that. And the whole book, he said, it's vanity. It's vexation of spirit. I never found fulfillment. Then he comes to the end of his life, and he says, let me tell you something, young people. Learn from an old man. This old man has learned something. I've had everything this world has to offer, and you will not find what you're looking for in that. But I have found it, and his name is Jesus Christ. Remember God now. This is what he's saying. Here in youth, the great enemy, I'm talking about the devil, says youth for pleasure, old age for religion. Let the devil have the prime and God the dregs. There's time enough to think of religion when you're old, when you can serve the world no longer. He says now is a time for pleasure, to see as much of life as you can. Religion will come in course. That is a frightful delusion is what that is. The delusion of him who's a liar and the father of it. Young people, really all age people, now is the time to serve God. Right now. But especially young people, that's who he's talking to. Here is counsel from this wise older man. Remember God now. Solomon is staring us in the face. And he says, I wish I had never forgotten God. He's shouting to generations after him, whatever you do, don't forget God. Everybody worships. Everybody hangs their heart somewhere. So here's Solomon, and go with truth. Submit to the God's lordship. Worship the true God. Hang your heart entirely upon his promises. Remember and never forget your Creator. The devil has one great plan. He has many good plans, but he has one great one. And that great plan is to get people to delay. Just put it off. Some people say, one of these days I'm going to trust Christ, or one of these days I'm going to serve the Lord, or one of these days I'm going to get rid of those things in my life that are not acceptable to the Lord. The devil's great plan is to get us to say, not right now. This is the devil's way. But God's way is always now. Take care of things now. Learn the potential of the present and make the most of each God-given moment. Trust Christ now. Live for Christ now. Lean on God now. Be faithful to church now. Read your Bible now. Pray now. Don't plan on serving God later. Serve God now. Do not plan on giving to God later. Give to God now. This is what this older man's saying. Do you hear him? Are you listening? Listen to this man. As one man said, don't burn your candle for the devil and blow the smoke of a wasted life in the face of God. Hear this older man's wise counsel. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. To the aged, to those who are senior saints, those who are aging, you know my heart. I'm not trying to discourage you. We need you here at Buffalo Ridge. And God Almighty wants to use you no matter how old or how young you are. But please see the spirit in this message that Solomon, as an old man, he's using his age to plead with the youth. I wish I would have given it to God sooner. That's what he's saying. Second thing we hear when we listen in on this wise man's counsel, we hear him speak to the youth. Number two, we hear him share his testimony about his search. This is found in verses 9 to 12. Notice this now. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought. He's seeking. He sought to find acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there's no end, and much studies of weariness of the flesh. Now, verse number 12 should not become the student's life verse, okay? That there's much study is just wearies your flesh. That's not what he's saying. In context, he's making a powerful point here. Let me explain this. The second thing we see in Solomon's counsel is we see him sharing how he was on a search in his life. And we see right here that Solomon had gotten away from the upright way, you understand? He had turned away from the truth early in life. And yes, right here, as he testifies as an older man, he shares about his search. And you, if you know anything about the book of Ecclesiastes, and he was searching here and searching there and searching there and searching there and all of this, he testifies as an older man that how his search ended with the true words that are written, and they're given by one shepherd. That's what he says. I sought for what was acceptable. And I found words that were written down that are truth. That are like goads and they're like nails. And by the way, they're given by one shepherd. Anybody have any idea what he's talking about here? Amen. It's as if Solomon's saying, truth is like a nail in a fixed place. A strong, unmovable nail. It's fixed and fastened. Truth is unavoidable. You don't shape it, it shapes us. You don't create truth, you discover it. God gives us truth, we acknowledge it, submit to it. See, the goad is the person or the thing that's poking you at truth. The goad could be a preacher, a friend, a spouse, a book, anything or anyone that points you, pokes you, prods you to hold on to the nails that hold you together. Nails of truth. God's words. No doubt, that's an application here that he's referring here that on his search down through life, Ecclesiastes 1 down through, I'm talking about all these chapters, that's vanity. But he sits down as an older man and says, let me tell you something. I was searching through life, and here's what I found. I found God's words to be true. I found God's words were like goads in my life, just prodding me all the time. Get out of that. Get out of that. Dude, go that way. Don't stay away from that. And he said, I found that those words are like nails that hold me in place. They drive me deep. Solomon has learned the hard way, you see. But here's what he learned. Truth always wins. Always. He tried to hack the code and game the system. But truth was not hackable. Solomon's journey back to the nails was hard, driven, desperate. He had to wreck the whole train before God could begin to put it back together in his life, and that only happened near the end of his life. I ask you a question, what will your journey be? How long will you wrestle with truth? How long will you struggle under the frustration of lesser lords, and just how broken will that journey become before you're goaded back to the nails? I'm quoting somebody here. He says, I'm not trying to guilt you, but I do hope to make you think deeply. Take it from Solomon. You can see him sitting right here. This older man who searched, and in his search he sought for true fulfillment in people. He had 1,000 women. Could he find it there? He sought for an education. He sought for it in industry, all these other kind of things, but now He just testifies at the end of his life as an older man. He wishes he'd have learned it sooner. He says, that's all empty. But God really is the truth. May I appeal to you to stop negotiating with truth and begin submitting to it. May I beg you to stop the heavy lifting of resisting truth and begin the lighter life of yielding to it. The truth is not changing, but you can. Amen. Every time we attempt to get away from God, it always finds us. It just goads. You can't get away from it. It's going to be there. Right now, you can move from the resisting life to the resting life. The very nails you fight against can hold you together. Run to those nails and never let them go. God has his goads. He goads us in love. He goads definitely. I'm talking about when he goads us, it can get our attention in a most powerful, uncomfortable, and loving way. He knows precisely how long to allow us to squander life and struggle against his truth. He stands, arms open, grace abounding, to draw you back to the nails. Sooner or later, you will fall down and cry out that Jesus is Lord. You will bow before the absoluteness of his truth. Sooner or later, you will come out of the struggle. You will collapse in exhaustion. And you will cry out, you win. It's going to happen. The nails always remain. How long will it take? How far off course will you be? What price will be paid by you or others? Why not run to the nails now? And realize that what this dear man realized late in life, what I was searching for on planet Earth, the peace that I needed while I was searching for it in this and that and that and this and that, as an old man who now can't do what I used to, you can kind of see him limping along. You can see his eyesight dimming. You can see his hearing falling, fading. You can see him waking up at the sound of a bird in the morning, while as a youth he could sleep through a freight train going through his, I'm talking about through his room. But now as an older person, every little sound, it just wakes him up. You see that old man sitting there, and he says, young people, let me tell you something. Don't wait until you're my age. Remember God now and understand that the search that I've been on, I have found the truth. And the truth is something written down by a shepherd that's like goads and like nails that just show me what I was searching for all along. Oh, that the young people would grab what this old man is saying. That the young people would say, oh God, help me have you first on my mind going through life. Oh God, help me bypass the search that he did and realize I don't have to try to give my life to that. Let me make a beeline to the nails of God's word and just anchor my life down there until I see Jesus. And there's a third and final thing we hear. We not only hear him speak to the youth, we not only hear him share a testimony about his search ending in truth, but in closing, we see him summarize what life is all about. It's found in verses 13 and 14. Look at it. He comes down to the end of this book, and he says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. As Solomon, a wise older man, comes to the end of the book, he summarizes what life is about. And before we get to what he said, let us not forget who this is speaking. This is Solomon, the one who had it all. He had absolutely everything any man could ever want. Read the book. He said that without God, all of life is empty. Solomon was one of the greatest builders who ever lived. Yet when he completed all of his building projects, he looked at his hands and he said, my hands are empty. I found nothing to satisfy in all of this. He had one of the greatest minds of any man who has ever lived, ever. He not only studied subject matter, he also mastered it. In other words, he studied it, he became a master of it. He had a brilliant mind. He mastered the sciences and many other fields of study. But he said when he had filled his mind with all the things that he had mastered, he said, my head is empty. He did not have God, so all was vanity. Anything Solomon wanted? He tells us early in the book, if I wanted it, I did it. I got it. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had 1,000 women. But he said, after all the pleasure that he sought to enjoy, he said his heart remained empty. Over 30 times in this one, see, the book of Ecclesiastes is one sermon. Aren't you glad I didn't preach it in one sermon? Amen. This is one sermon, and over 30 times in this one sermon, he declared that he plunged into life to find happiness and fulfillment, but he came up empty. He concluded that all is vanity. Everything under the sun without God, no matter what it is, leaves life empty. Then his message comes to an end. But it's more than the conclusion of a sermon. It's the conclusion of life, friends. And we need to listen to it. What is it? You see him? Hands shaking. Legs no longer as sturdy as they used to be. Can you see him kind of struggle to sit up in his chair? And he says, let me just summarize it for you. Fear God. Keep his commandments.
This is the whole duty of man. Because someday you're going to stand before him. Wow. Wow. Pay attention to the order here. He did not say keep his commandments and fear God. He said fear God and keep his commandments. Show me somebody not keeping God's commandments and I'll show you somebody who does not fear God. There is a God who made the world and created us. He's the God before whom we will stand someday. And the Bible says, I am to fear God. And so many would not speak the way they speak if they feared God. Millions of people would not act the way they act if they feared God. You say, how do I know if I fear God? Are you obeying His commandments? The bottom line is what we think of the Lord is proven by the way we choose to live. We're to heed this counsel from Solomon to keep us from a lifetime of heartache and emptiness. Fear God, keep His commandments. Proverbs 3:7 says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 14:2, he that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Solomon follows this counsel up by reminding us in the last verse of the book that God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way. He said, there's coming a day when every secret thing, every secret thought will be made known to God. You may ask, are you saying to me that everything that I have ever done or said, all of it will be made known? He says, I want to add just a little help to this thought. If you're a Christian, he says, I'm forgiven for the penalty of my sin, but I'm going to meet God with my works. What is there in your life at this moment that you do not want to meet God with in judgment? What is it? And whatever it is, bring it to Him now. He's a merciful God. He's a wonderful Savior. He'll forgive and cleanse you. If you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior, you do not want to meet God and be cast into eternity without Him someday. If you know Him as a Christian, but you've been living in disobedience to the Lord, you do not want to meet God like that. Ask Him to help you, forgive you, cleanse you, then immediately start serving Him. We're given the conclusion of the whole matter. These are words of truth. They're God's words. The whole matter about life is to fear God, keep His commandments. One day, if Jesus doesn't return sooner, you and I will be looking back on our life. One day someone will be planning our memorial service, our funeral. One day people will be gathered to remember us. What will matter then? Only what you did with Jesus. Heed Solomon's summary. Fear God. Keep His commandments because you're going to meet Him someday. Now, as I come to a close, just about done, oh, how we all need to consider and live by this counsel that this dear man, an older man who's learned what life is about, he's pointing us to God, he's giving the truth. Oh, how we need to hear him. He's learned what life is all about. Young people, it makes no difference what you're after. There's no way you would ever have what Solomon had. No way. Because his own testimony, he said, if I want it, I got it. He had the money for it, you see. There was nothing he wanted he didn't have. Nothing. And yet he stands and sits before us and he says, let me tell you something. It's taken me too long to realize this. But I have realized something, and thank God the Holy Spirit inspired it, inspired him to write this down, so we're learning from his mistakes. And he's calling out, remember God, fear God, obey God, because we will stand before God. Don't think you know better than Solomon. Don't think that there's more to this life than fearing God and obeying Him. Don't fall into the trap of the devil when he tempts you to look outside the truths of God's Word to find real meaning. Don't fall for that. Don't wait until you're an older man or woman to get this life right. Give your heart to God now. I'm going to close my Bible. If you have one open, you can close it if you don't mind. You don't need my permission to do that, but sometimes people hesitate because the preacher doesn't want you to do that. I want you to do that and look right here at me for just a moment. You got your Bible closed? The older generation, I'm going to talk to the young people just a minute. The conclusion that Solomon came to, you also will. It'll either be while you're young and you have your full life to serve God, or it'll be when you're older. You can still do great things for God, but you're limited. Or it'll be at the judgment. The only acceptable one is right now. Don't wait until it's too late. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, take this and use it. Dear God, as we come to the conclusion of this book, help us to understand that this is really the conclusion of life. And help us to heed the warnings from this old wise man. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. I wonder today, what is God doing in your heart? What is the Lord doing inside of you? When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. And I want to start where the Lord would have me to start, and that is here. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Are you born again? In a crowd this size, there could be one, two, maybe nobody, I don't know, but I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks an opportunity to trust Jesus. Is there one today, say, Pastor Jody, if I died just like I am right now, I do not have the assurance in my heart that I am a Christian, I'm born again, I am not saved, I'm not born again, or maybe you just have questions, you have doubts, and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure I'm a believer. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to pray for you. Is there one, say, Pastor Jody, pray for me? I realize I'm going to stand before God, and I don't want to wait until then to bow the knee. I want to bow the knee today, and I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody like that that needs to be saved today? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. Eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. This message was spoken directly to young people, and he used the aging process as a plea to young people to give everything you've got to God, and don't wait until you're limited to give Him what's left. Now thank God for those who do give Him what's left. Amen. Now, I'm not belittling that at all. But God wants young people now. Have you young people say, now just be honest. Don't lie to the Lord. But you say, I'm a young person. Let me just put it this way. How about those who are 40 and below? Not saying that 41 is old, because I'm 41, so if I'm calling 41 and above old, then I'm calling myself old. I'm not doing that. I'm just putting an age bracket on it here. Have your 40 and below, and God is speaking to you about this. Be honest, would you raise your hand? God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you directly. Yes. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, before I proceed here, if you're above 40, especially the senior saints, the ones who just can't do what you used to, maybe you catch your hands trembling and your legs are not steady. And you say, Pastor Jody, boy, Solomon really hit it on the head on that. I'm experiencing those things. But you say, God is speaking to me about finishing the course. Not being discouraged with that, but giving God everything I have. See, that applies whether you've got full strength or half strength. God wants it all. You understand? Have the older generation to say, Pastor, I know you wasn't preaching to me, but God's really using this to burden my heart to give Him everything I've got. Even if it's not what it used to be, I know God still wants it and I want to give it to Him. I want to finish strong. Be honest, would you raise your hand? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. God help you. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, would you take this and use it? Help us today. Help these young people, these older folks who have been spoken to by God. Would you help them to respond? Get a hold of them, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I might, Brother Gary, to begin to sing. If God has spoken to your heart, don't ever be ashamed to come and thank the Lord for it. As He sings, you come now, would you please? As He sings, you come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
You don't have to fill out all that.
You may be seated.
It's good to see him on his knees. This is Jordan and Rachel. If you all to stand, if you don't mind. Miss Judy, if you wouldn't mind to stand with them, I appreciate it. They've been coming for a while and I've been praying about this. They know the Lord. They've been scripturally baptized in a church of like faith. They've had the bylaws, all that's in order. And they believe that God is leading them to become members of our church. And we're honored about this, no doubt about it. They're both coming by statement. All of this is in order. Could I get someone to make a motion that we accept them here. Brother Rim, Brother Martin, all members, say aye. Raise your hand high if you're in favor. God bless you. That's enough. Amen. God bless you. And you folks stay right there, okay? I'm sure our folks want to greet you. And over here, Leslie, if you wouldn't mind, and your husband can stand with you. Isn't that great? He's like this. Yeah. These are our missionaries. Praise the Lord. And just been married not very long. And Stephen's already a member here, and she's coming to join our church. And we're so happy about this. I told her, I said this. I said, now, the order of business is when you join the church, you bring the pastor a dozen donuts. She said, let's make it 24 and we'll share, okay? So I like that. So we're not going to vote on her. She's in, okay? No, I'm just kidding with you. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept her, Brother Marty, Brother Brad? All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. Amen. I like that. God bless you. You can be seated. And then Brother and Mrs. Scotty Carrier. Boy, I tell you, our faithful missionaries for many, many years and been pastoring down in Texas, they've come home. Amen. We're thrilled about this. And they want to join our church by transfer of letter from the Bethel Baptist Church. And we're honored to have you folks back home. No doubt about that. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. And we're excited about it. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them back in the membership? Brother Stephen, Brother Edwards, all in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. Amen. So carry. Praise the Lord. You folks are right there. Folks want to come greet you. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Thank you for being here today. As we pray, several of you, if you wouldn't mind to make, I know it's a little difficult because it's like a fish swimming upstream, but several of you can come this way and greet these folks into the membership of our church. That'll be a good thing, okay? We've got a gift bag for you right here, so let's make sure we take care of that. That'd be good. All right? Brother Marty Scroggs, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, sir, in prayer, please.